Evening, everyone. It's really good to be here this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to present to you what I prepared this evening. I was encouraged Wednesday by Charlie's lesson and by the closing song invitation, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And I titled this lesson, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Our key verse comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the last part of verse 15. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." As I was preparing this lesson, I got to thinking of battles, struggles that we face in life. They come in different sizes, different flavors, so to speak. The struggles are not all bad, but they can be uncomfortable at times. They get us out of our comfort zone. And that's not a bad thing. It gives us an opportunity to grow spiritually, draw closer to God, get a better understanding of God's Word. It's not a time to rely on our own understanding, but a time to go to the throne of God in prayer and ask for guidance. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 32, 8 and 9. "I will direct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." As a child of God, we have a Father that loves us, knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, and He'll provide it. In Psalm 37, verses 25 through 29, Psalm 37, 25 through 29, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever." We as children of God are blessed with the assurance of our heavenly home. At times of struggles, times of life struggles, we need to keep focused on our heavenly home. We need to focus on that open door that John was shown in Revelation 4, verse 1 through 3. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 3. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald." Keep in mind who is on the throne. God is on the throne, and God is still on that throne today. In that same chapter, verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." This evening, we'll read about God's children in the Old Testament facing life struggles, facing battles that could only have been won by God. Please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. As you're turning there, I want you to ask yourself, what struggles am I experiencing right now? Then I want you to keep in mind our key verse, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Brothers and sisters, we can draw courage, we can draw comfort, knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. Chapter 20, verse 32, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, son of Asa, Scripture says, "And he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord." In chapter 20, verses 1 through 2, it happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, beside the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar." Then we read of the king's reaction to this grave news in verses 3 and 4. "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to help, to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord." Let's continue reading verses 5 through 12. "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." The king asked, "Are you not our God of our fathers? Are you not the God in heaven? Are you not ruler over all kingdoms of nations? Don't you have the power and no one can withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land and gave it to the descendants of Abraham? Remember Abraham, your friend? We built this sanctuary with your name on it. You said we could call out to you on any time of need. And here are these people. You wouldn't allow Israel to conquer, returning the favor by battling us." In verse 12, listen to how this great king ended this prayer. He said to God, "We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." So when the battle comes to you, your first and most powerful defensive weapon is simply to humble yourself in prayer. So King Jehoshaphat gathered all the people of Judah into the courtyard in the temple in Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat prayed that God would protect his people and that he would not allow these three armies to invade their land. And God responded to his prayer by sending a prophet, and this prophet was Jahaziel. He told Jehoshaphat and all the people, "Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by his mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." In verse 13 of our chapter, "Now all of Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" Our key verse, "For the battle is not yours, but God's." Continuing on, verse 16, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 22, "Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." So when Judah came to place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Now let's look at another very obvious example in the Old Testament where the battle belonged to the Lord. We find that in 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. 2 Kings 18 and 19. We will not read verse per verse due to time. But verse 2 of chapter 18. King Hezekiah, he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 7, Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Verses 9 through 11 of chapter 18, in the sixth year of King Hezekiah's reign, Samaria was taken captive by the king of Assyria. Verse 13, the 14th year of Hezekiah's rule, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, took all the fortified cities of Judah. Verses 14 through 16, Hezekiah tells the king he has done wrong, and he will pay tribute to him. Verses 17 and 18, the Assyrian leaders and a great army are sent from Lachish against Jerusalem and call for the Hebrew officials to talk to the king. Verses 19 through 37, the Lachish entourage tells them to make peace with the Assyrian king by giving him a present. He tells them not to trust in the Lord, that God cannot save them. They equate God with all the other gods, little g, they have crushed. The officials go and tell Hezekiah all that is said. In chapter 19, verse 1, we read of Hezekiah's reaction after hearing. He tears his clothes, dons sackcloth, and goes into the house of God. Verses 2 and 4, Hezekiah sends for Isaiah. He tells Isaiah, it is time of trouble. Verses 5 and 7, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Verses 8 through 20, then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirkaka, king of Ethiopia, look, he has come out to make war with you. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan, Haran, Rizeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, Iva? Verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. In verses 20 through 34, God tells Hezekiah through Isaiah that because he prayed against Sennacherib, that he would save Jerusalem. God tells Hezekiah that he has heard all the taunts of Sennacherib and his arrogant pride. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Sennacherib. Verse 22. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your lifted up your eyes on high against the Holy One of Israel. Verse 23, by your messengers you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall trees and its choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful forests. I have dug and drunk strange water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. God continues, verse 25. Did you not hear long ago how I made it, from ancient times that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. God even tells Sennacherib, I know where you live. Verse 27, but I know your dwelling place. You're going out, you're coming in, and your rage against me. And because of this rage, verse 28, because of your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. Verse 32, therefore thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow here, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mount against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Remember our key verse, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 35, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Syria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. When life struggles happens, and they will, remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. As with Jehoshaphat, there will be times when we do not know what to do. And those will need to be especially the moments when we say, but our eyes are on you. 2 Chronicles 20:12. We know that Jesus Christ has already fought the battle, and victory is his, because the tomb was empty. Our God is an awesome God. Never doubt his power, for he is God. If there's any need anybody has, if you'd like to come forward at this time as we have this song of invitation. Thank you.